The Jason Rantz Show.
Jason Rantz, Seattle radio host, joins us now.
Jason, you're the perfect guest on this.
Jason Rantz, welcome back, Jason.
I see you often on other programs here.
Jason, what's going on?
Jason, thanks for coming on.
The Quick Hit.
Okay, so we've got some serious issues going on with the anti-policing bills, although I know that Democrats call them reimagining policing. It's not really about reimagining policing. It's been about dismantling policing, and they very clearly went too far, so far that they're even admitting that they have to make some changes. Whether or not they actually make the changes, no idea. What those changes will functionally look like, don't know. Joining me on the line to explain the situation from the law enforcement perspective, Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. It is great to talk to you again.
So, obviously, policing in the state of Washington changed dramatically last year thanks to the series of bills. Take us through, just first, big picture, how it's impacted law enforcement.
Oh, gosh, that's tough to do in a short amount of time, but I'll try. So, yeah, 2021 changed the way law enforcement does business in the entire state of Washington. So, they passed the bills early in the legislative session early in the year. Governor signs them. I think it was the end of March, April-ish, somewhere in there. And then we basically had about 60 days, give or take a couple of days, to both read the laws, interpret them, figure out policy, and then train our people. That is a monumental task in the world of government and public safety in 2021. But we did it. It wasn't exactly clear. We didn't have all the answers for our folks, but we did it. And then so we have these new laws, and, you know, they changed use of force language. They changed pursuit policy. They changed, you know, a lot. I guess I'd put it this way. We could still respond to calls, and the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office took that approach. We took a respond and assess approach. We didn't throw our hands in the air and just say we're not going anything anymore. But what changed is what we could do when we got there. And I know you've seen and you've covered it, and I've been pretty vocal on my social media about some of the impacts to public safety that we've seen, and they're out there. I'm right now, it's the first week of the session in 2022, Jason. I'm going to be optimistic. There's bills floating around like crazy. And, you know, what you said in your opening, too, is the legislators down there, they have agreed that they're going to fix some of this stuff. So what they come up with, no one knows yet, but I'm going to be optimistic for now.
Yeah, the question becomes, will the fix actually be a fix, or will it be a Band-Aid? Will it be just makeup? And the truth of the matter is the problem still exists. Take me through, if you could, just one example, one story from the last year that comes to mind when you say this could have ended a different way had we not had one of these bills passed by the Democrats, or at least passed in the way that it was done.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know the exact one I want to go to right away. And this comes in the area of people in the mental health crisis, or we call it behavior health contact now. And the police deal with it all the time. I know there's some activists that want us out of that business completely. I'm actually not opposed to that, but I don't think there's a pathway yet. And what they did is they changed the threshold for the police to be able to use force to where the main thing is there has to be probable cause for someone's arrest. When we are dealing with people in a mental health crisis, they are not under arrest. But prior to this legislation, we were allowed to use a reasonable amount of force, you know, to get that person help if they needed. And what happened in post July 25th for us and in our South County, our busiest precinct, is we had both medics and law enforcement deputies dispatched to a family that called in their adult son in a mental health crisis. So we respond. He had already left the house. The medics found him a couple blocks away, basically laying down in the bed of a pickup truck, just laying there. So we're doing all the right things. We're talking to him. You know, we're keeping distance. We and the medics determined that he needs help this day and he's going to have to go. But this is the crux of the issue. Unless that person in crisis is willing to walk on his own accord into the back of the aid unit and go to the hospital to get the help, we cannot use force because of this new legislation. And what happened, and I'll wrap it up real quickly, he ends up taking off and there's literally nothing that we could do about it. We watched him run away. He jumps fences. He enters someone else's home unlawfully after he shed his clothing. And that homeowner had to hold that person in crisis again at knife point until we were redispatched and had to go deal with now the new issue that came up. So that's a glaring example of the impact to not just the person in crisis, not just the person in crisis family, but the community as well with this new legislation.
Adam Fortney is the sheriff of Snohomish County. He's on the line to talk about some of the much-needed reforms to the reforms that were passed last year in the height of the BLM movement, the anti-police movement that a lot of Democrats took advantage of, in my view, to try to dismantle systems of oppression. And, you know, one of the other issues that, you were involved in early on was the banning of, you know, certain weapons of a certain caliber size. And, you know, it ended up banning non-lethal weapons like beanbag guns, like the soft tip foam bullets that don't actually kill anyone. You were one of the agencies that said, yeah, we're going to follow the letter of the law because we have no clue whether or not, it doesn't matter whether or not it's your intent was to ban non-lethal weapons. It's what the law says. And your officers, your deputies, could be put in hot water if something goes wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. We pulled ours from the street. We had to. I don't think we had an option. You know, I'm also responsible for our employees and trying to take care of them as well. And whether they meant to or not, I don't think they meant to. I'll take them at their word for that. That is the letter of the law. And I can't have my deputies out there using a weapon that has now been banned by the state legislature. So, yeah, that absolutely impacted us.
And,
you know, it takes a full year to overcome that, where at the end of this month, into early next month, we'll have some more less lethal. But, you know, it's taken a long time to get there.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous because one of the lawmakers who pushed for this was State Representative Roger Goodman. And he gave an interview, I believe it was to the local NPR affiliate, saying, you know, that wasn't our intent. You can continue to use it and we'll fix it in the new year. But that's a judge does not look at an interview that one lawmaker gives as a thumbs up, because another lawmaker could say the opposite of what that lawmaker said. Someone could say, hey, never mind. Don't go ahead and do the Long-Term Care Trust Act because we never intended it to happen. Yeah, that's not how the law works. A judge who looks at the law looks at the law. You say go ahead, sorry.
No, think of it this way. So the state legislature passes the most sweeping police reform packages, if you will, in the country, I would say. But then they go ahead and say, we didn't really mean this. You can go ahead and use it. But they have all these triggers in place, you know, to hold the police accountable. Goodness gracious, no, we're not going to put our own people in that position. There's no way we could do that.
Yeah, and some of the agencies that decided that they were going to continue with the weaponry, officers just weren't carrying it with them. Seattle Police Department is a good example of that. You can, good luck finding an officer who's still carrying anything having to do with the non-lethal weapons because they don't think that they're going to be protected should this come up. You say you think everything's going to go well, or at least you're hopeful that things will go well. But the truth of the matter is, you know, that could still take a while. How confident are you that the issues that continue to persist will be able to hold off in the interim? Is it just, well, we've already done it this long, we'll just go a few more weeks?
It's impossible to say in the world of public safety. It's unpredictable. I mean, we could have another call like the example I gave, you know, 30 minutes from now or 3 days from now. It's just completely unpredictable. That's why I was really pushing for a special session. I thought it warranted it because of the timing, but clearly that didn't happen in there in session now. And one of the other things I've done, because like I said, I've been pretty vocal, about my not supporting these changes and things like that. But I do got to say, I've spent the last 2 months meeting with every legislature in Snohomish County, minus about three just because of scheduling. The talks have gone well, and I don't want to be all negative. I want to be positive as well. The conversations were good. I think they do get it. But now we're going to see if they can put their money where their mouth is with this new session and make some of these changes. I think they will, Jason. I think the behavior health thing and the use of force, I think that's going to get fixed.
Hope so.
There's also the issue with police pursuits, which doesn't get the attention that some others does, and I understand why, but it's a real issue. I don't know if that one's going to get fixed or not, but we're going to keep pushing for it.
Yeah, and remember, folks, if they don't fix that one, for the most part, criminals will very easily be able to just drive away. They have raised the bar from reasonable suspicion, and now it's almost impossible to go ahead and make that pursuit. And by the way, even if they met all of the factors to pursue, they still would have to get permission from someone higher above them before they would be able to do it. It is such a disaster. Before we let you go, we only have about a minute left. I'll give you a chance to respond to that, but also if you could, take us through just sort of the staffing crisis, if one exists right now within your department, as it relates to Omicron and the spread. We've seen in Seattle, for example, SPD is getting hit pretty hard by the spread of COVID, despite in their case having a fully vaccinated force. What's going on in Snohomish County?
Yeah, and I'm going to follow up one thing on police pursuit, and that is that when you tell the criminal element ahead of time that you can't chase you unless it's the most violent of felonies, what do you think is going to happen? They know the rules, too,
yep.
And every single day they're just taking off from people. I hope that gets fixed. We'll see. Okay, Omicron and COVID, yeah, we're seeing it to a certain extent. I mean, the stuff is just everywhere right now, Chase. It is everywhere. We haven't had any major cases, which I'm thankful for. But, yeah, it's impacted. I wouldn't say we're in crisis mode. We absolutely have plans in place, both in corrections and the law enforcement side of the house, if we do reach that point. But so far, so good up here. We do have some employees that are out sick, but we're just not in crisis mode yet. So I'm very thankful for that.
Are you thinking about running for re-election?
That's a year away, Jason.
I know, but you got to start thinking about that now.
The talk is already here. I wish I wasn't talking about it 2 years out, but it is absolutely here. I've been asked a lot. I mean, you asked me, so I'll give you an answer. I'm absolutely running in 2023, man. I am so proud of what we have going on here at the Sheriff's Office. It's been a bumpy road, but it has for all of law enforcement in the last couple of years with everything we've gone through. But, yeah, I'll be in 2023. You're not going to see any campaigning or anything like that until about a year from now. But, yeah, unless something drastic changes between now and then, I am super excited about what the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office has going on.
Love it. You've done some really, really amazing work in difficult circumstances in Snohomish County. You've fended off some of the lunatic activists in the community, so kudos to you for that, because a lot of people could have just given up. You definitely have not. Adam Fortney, Sheriff of Snohomish County, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
You got it, sir. Have a great day.
You as well. Now this.